find one.
Morning. Today's Daf and Brachos, Lamed Aleph. We start today the fifth parak of the Masechta. And this will be the final parak that we're going to be discussing davening, formally. It come up a little bit in the end of the Masechta, but the first three parakim of the Masechta were dedicated to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, and parakim numbers 4 and 5 are dedicated to the halachas of Shmoneh Esrei. This parak will be an extraordinarily enjoyable parak, as we're going to be discussing a little bit more of the of a state of mind that a person should be in when he's davening Shmoneh Esrei, Kavana and the like. And so our parak over here is halacha, obviously, all Mishnayos, Gemara, halacha, but over here halacha in terms of state of mind and the kind of mood we should be in when we're davening. So we start with the Mishnah in Om Dim Lispal Al Mito Kovid Rosh. Mishnah says that when a person's davening, he should be davening be Kovid Rosh. Kovid Rosh literally means with a heavy head. Take a look at Rashi over here. Achna. Rashi writes that a person has to be subdued. So a person should not feel kind of this sense of entitlement, arrogance. And we'll go over different types of moods and emotions as we go through the Gemara. But the Mishnah says that a person should be in a certain state of mind and a certain state of humility. That's the way Rashi describes it. Chasidim Rishonim HaYishonim Sha'achas Umispalo. As far as the Chasidim Rishonim are concerned. So what they would do is that they would wait. Sha'achas. Now Sha'achas literally means an hour. Now it could mean that the Pshat in the Mishnah is mamish an hour. We'll talk more about this on today's daf in terms of the amount of preparation that was done by these Chasidim. And they would daven, and so that they would have kavana, and they would have the proper intent. When you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei, so the king's asking you about your well-being, so you shouldn't return and answer the king. And the snake is wrapped around your leg, and it still shouldn't stop your Shmoneh Esrei. Okay, right. Now, there's a Mishnah thing over here regarding the king and the snake that even if it means your life is in jeopardy, you don't need to stop. So that you could read the Mishnah that way, but we're not going to read the Mishnah that way. And when I say we, I mean the Gemara, but we're going to come back to these points. The last lines of the Mishnah, in terms of the amount of concentration that you should have for Shmoneh Esrei, and what you shouldn't stop for when you're in the middle of Shmoneh Esrei. So we're going to clarify a little bit later on, tomorrow's daf, in terms of what exactly is the king and the snake. At what point exactly are you not supposed to stop with the king and the snake? Okay, but we are going to be speaking today primarily about the first line of the Mishnah, and that's Kovid Rosh, the idea that you have to be in a state of humility. The Gemara starts off, Menahani Miliam, Rav Elazar, Makra, Vihi Mars Nefesh, or He Mars Nefesh. So, describing Chana, so she's in a bitter state. And the Gemara is now understanding that this is not just a description of Chana, but rather this is a description of how we are all supposed to be when we daven. So the Gemara pushes back a little bit. The Gemara says, okay, fine. I understand Chana was in a bitter state, but that doesn't necessarily mean that that's how everyone's supposed to be. Mimai, dama Chana shani dahava marira liba tuva. It could have been because of her personal situation that she was in that state for davening. But that doesn't mean that all of us need to be in that kind of state. Alam Rav Yossi, Rabbi Chanin Mehacha. So the Gemara quotes another pasuk. Vani brav chastacha, aval beisach yishachav ala hechal kashecha, biyira secha. So here we have David HaMelech describing in Tehillim that when he came to the Beis HaMikdash of David, he did so biyira. He was in a state of fear and awe. And so this runs parallel to the theme of the Mishnah, Kovid Rosh. So the Gemara says, Mimai. Again, the Gemara says, okay, look, I hear you, but I'm not sure if he's reflecting what is the general position that person should take. Dilma, David Shani Dahavim Mitzar Nefshe Baracha Beituvah. Could be that, again, it was a personal situation for him where he came in and davened biyira, but that doesn't necessarily reflect that this is how everyone's supposed to be when entering davening. Alam Rav Yishuv Melevi Mehacha, so the Gemara now is going to be citing a third possible source. Hishachiv Hashem Bajos Kodesh. The pasuk says that you enter into conversation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu with Hadras Kodesh. Now, Al Tikrei Hadras Ela Charadas. So over here, it's not pshat in the pasuk. It's not simple pshat. It's almost like we are darshaning the pasuk, and hadras could be also read as charadas. Now you're going to do a couple things over here. You're converting the hay into a ches, which we've seen before. You're also switching around the dal and the resh. Okay, so admittedly, it's not the simple reading of the pasuk, and the Gemara also pushes back on this as well. I'm sorry, but charadas charada means fear. Okay, fine. So mimai, the Gemara says, okay, doma la'olam em lecha hadras mamish. First of all, you could just read the pasuk kipshuto, and hadras over here could just simply mean hider. which is Kihad Rav Yehuda, Hamim Mitzayin Avshev, Hadar Matzai. Rav Yehuda, what would he do before davening? He would dress himself up. He would look good. He would look presentable before he would daven. Rashi writes over here by Hadras, the I know there's a Rashi. Or I thought there was a Rashi.
No.
Oh yeah, Mitzayin Avshev. Thank you. So Mitzayin Avshev, Mikashe that's Mala Begadav. So he would wear fancy clothing when he would daven, fancy clothing, nice clothing when he would daven. So that could be pshat in the pasuk, and we still don't have a pasuk that speaks to this idea that every person should be in the state of yira when they go and they daven. Elam Rav Nachma Yitzchak Mehacha. So this is now going to be our fourth attempt. Ivdos Hashem biyira v'gila berada. So the pasuk, speaking about the state of mind that a person needs to be, so you serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu bi yira in fear and gilu, and when you rejoice in rada. You're shaking, you're fear, you're fearful. So my vigila berada, I'm ravada, bar masta, I'm a rava, bar makam gila sham tei rada. And the Gemara says, then we're going to go even one step further, that even when you are in a state of joy, meaning that the circumstance demands that you have to be in a state of joy, still it has to be offset with a little bit of rod. You have to be afraid. You cannot be unbridled joy. Abai have yasav kamed derava chazid have kabad echtuva. Abai was in front of Rabbi and he saw that kabad echtuva. He was a little too frivolous. Amar vigila beradaksiv, and he says, look, you're it's too unbridled. Meaning joyful, that's good, but it's got to be balanced. And he gives an interesting answer. He says, you know, I hear you, but you know what? I'm okay to be in this kind of state of joy because I'm wearing my tefillin. Rashi writes, it's testimony that I'm still under the jurisdiction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I still have a creator. And so therefore, it's okay for me to be a little bit more joyful because I'm wearing the tefillin at the same time. Rav Yirmiyahu Avi Yosef Kamid Rabbi Zera. Rav Yirmiyahu was in front of Rav Zera Chazia to have a kabbaz echtuva, and he saw that Rabbi Yirmiyahu was also too exuberant, too joyful. So Amalei bechol atzeviyem mutar. So and he quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, and he says that you should be in a state. There should be a balance. There should be a sense of sadness. So Amalei ana tefillin manchana. And again, he gives the same answer. I'm wearing tefillin. I'm okay. Marbrei de Ravina Avad Hilul Lebrei. So Marbrei de Ravina was making a chasna for his own son, and Chazenu leRabbanan Dave Kabat Chetuve, and the Chachamim over there at the chasna. So they were joyful, too joyful. Aisu Kasa, and we now are on the top. Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. He brings a Kasa de Mukre Bas Arba Meizuze. So he took a jug that was worth 400 zuz, right, an expensive jug. V'taber and he breaks it. V'taber Kamayu and he breaks it in front of him. V'atzivu. And everyone now starts to get a little bit more somber. So he sobers up people at the chasna. And again, that's the gilu berada. At a time where people are expected to be joyful. Meaning you're supposed to be happy at the chasna. But at the same time, it has to be balanced. It has to be mitigated. It can't be unbridled simcha.
Is it his jug?
I don't know. Not clear. Not clear whose jug it is.
Okay.
And what about Baal Tashchis? So Baal Tashchis, the common answer that's given for Baal Tashchis is that if there's a purpose in doing so, so then it's not Baal Tashchis. Over here, to create the correct mood, so that is considered purposeful. Okay, breaking a jug. Rav Ashi of an Hilula Lebrei, one more story about this. Rav Ashi was making a chasna for his son, Chazinu Rabbanu Dave Kabad Chetuva. And again, the Chachamim over there at the chasna got a little too excited. So I see Kasa de Zigisa. And he brings a white glass jar, v'taber kamayu, and he breaks in front of them, v'ativu, and they got sad. Now, it sounds familiar, right? You're breaking glass at a chasna. Breaking glass at a chasna. Okay, all right. Does that have anything to do with our minug? Tosuf says yes. Tosuf writes over here, top Tosuf on the Amud. Aisukasa de zagisa chavirta, mikan nagul shavir zchuchis b'nesuin. So it's from here that we break a jar at a, we break glass at a chasna. Now it's interesting. I ask anybody here. I ask myself. We're breaking a glass at the chasna. So that's zech lechorban, right? It's not the way as reported over here in our daf. Meaning the way, if you take the Gemara, put it together with Tosfos, it has to do with mitigating joy. Meaning it's that we are not supposed to be in the sense of unbridled joy, and that we're porikol and we're just simply removing the yoke of heaven from us. And we have to, at two times, meaning we have to be able to hold two thoughts in our head at the same time. The idea that it's a time to be joyful and it's a time to be happy. And at the very same time also, we're still responsible. And we have to have this sense of awe and responsibility. And so so Tosha certainly sounds like this idea of breaking glass is not Zech L'Chorban, but it's just simply to get everybody in the right state of mind and that balance of at the same time joy, at the same time responsibility.
What about breaking the glass at the Tanayim?
Right, it could be. It could be. And anyway, and what it also
plate.
Right, and what also could be, yeah, it's fine. He's made a couple chasnas. He knows. It could be correct. It could be that both are true. In other words, you're right. It could absolutely be that it's chorban based. It's zechel chorban based mikdash, and also it mitigates the joy. Okay.
So that's what he says. That's why you have to be sad because of the father.
For zechel. Okay. That could be. From the Gemara, you get no sense whatsoever. I'm with you, but if you don't get that sense from the Gemara. Amalei Rabban le Rav Amnuna Zute Beilula Demar Brei De Ravina Lishrei Lamar. There's another chasna story. Okay, one more chasna story. So the Chachamim said to Rav Amnuna at the chasna of Mar Brei De Ravina Lishrei Lamar. Okay, go up there, go sing. Right, I know we hired a band, I know we hired a singer, but okay, good, you go up there, you sing. So Amalehu. So he says, okay. So he takes the microphone. I know it's anachronistic, but it's okay. So he takes the microphone and he says, Vailan de Masne. We're all going to die, we're all going to die. Now, I don't know how popular that tune got, and I don't know how popular the song began. I really don't think it took off. I don't think so. So Amrale Anan Manane Basrech. So it says, okay, good. So what do we answer when you say that? So Amrale Hai Torah, Hai Mitzvah, Demigna Online. Where's the Torah? Where are the mitzvahs that protect us? Now, here's the part that I get very, very clearly. In other words, in line with the theme that we've been working on since the beginning of today's daf, is that there needs to be a certain sense of hachna, humility, subdued nature, and even at a time of joy, gilu berada. I get it. Exactly. And what he was trying to accomplish with the song, admittedly, was a little heavy-handed, but that's I'm not in a position to judge, and I shouldn't be judging. But he said in a very heavy-handed way, he's saying basically, okay, look, it's the time of joy right now, but let's remind each other we're all going to die.
Right.
Okay, admittedly, it's heavy-handed, but that's his point. With the response, Hai Torah v'hai mitzvah demigna nalei, where's the term, where are the mitzvahs? So are they trying to say that despite the fact that we're all going to die, but at least we have mitzvahs? Or we're all going to die, and the mitzvahs are not even going to help us, meaning that death is still going to be the ultimate conclusion to everybody. Okay, could be that that's what it meant as well. Anyway, let's continue. I'm Rav Yochanan Mishum Rashbi. Asala Adam Shimala Eschov Piv Olam Hazeh. A person cannot fill his mouth with laughter in this world. Meaning, to be memale, to fill your mouth with laughter in this world. Right? Right. In other words, again, it's the same idea. It's got to be balanced. Shenem Razim Alei Eschov Pino, Shonei Narina. So the Pasuk says in Tehillim, we're all familiar, Az Yimale Eschov Pino. Only at that, only then. The then referring to the Zman HaGeula. So, Bizman Shiyom Rabbagoyim, Higdil Hashem Lasos Nimeila. So, Higdil Hashem Lasos Nimeila. So, it's at the time when the Goyim say, you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, look at the great things that he did. Meaning, we're talking about the Tkufa of Mashiach and the Kibbutz Galios. At that point in time, we could rejoice. But until then, so it has to be mitigated. Amar Lav Reish Lakish Meimav Lo Mila Eschok Piv Bolam Azeb. And they said regarding Reish Lakish that once he heard this from Rav Yochanan, he himself was never memale schok pino. He never had his mouth full with joy, meaning he was always balanced and he always had the sense of hachnas, of being subdued, and the sense of awe. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, approaching tefillah. So right now, the way I broke up the daf for myself is that basically there are three different approaches in terms of how to approach tefillah. So what I would say now, for as far as the daf up until this point in time, I'd call approach number one. Approach number one, entering in tefillah with a sense of kovod rosh. In other words, you have to be subdued, you have to be humbled, you have to be in the sense of awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yira and reverence. That would be approach number one. Here comes approach number two. And that is that when you enter into tefillah, so you just finished learning a halacha. right? Learning a halacha gives you the correct sense of mind, state of mind that a person should be when he's about to daven. Tanu Rabbanan, here's the approach number two. A person shouldn't be in judgment, and not in discussing a halacha. But what a person should be doing is learning a halacha, halacha that is an agreed to halacha. Everybody agrees to this particular halacha ve'echidami halacha psuka. Give me an example of halacha psuka. The Gemara is going to give three different examples of halacha psuka. Three different examples are going to come from three different areas of Shas. First one's going to come from Taro. Second one's going to come from Zrayim. Third one's going to come from Kachim. So it's interesting. The three different Siddurim that we're quoting from are the ones that we don't really deal with a lot. Meaning it's not the Nezikin, it's not Moed, it's not Nashim. Okay. There is Gemara on Seder Kachim, that part's true. But anyway, three different areas of halacha, examples of halacha psuka. Number one, Amar Abaye, ki hadar Rabbi Zera, da Amar Rabbi Zera, b'nois Yisrael, chmir latzman, she'afil ros, tipatam kechardo, yishev asal hashiv nekiyim. Now, for those of us who have learned Masechta Nida recently, so you already know, this halacha was already quoted back in Masechta Nida. And that is, and I'm just going to give an oversimplified overview of the halachas over here. The Gemara is just using this right now as an example of halacha psuka, so I'm not going to be dwelling on this. But the idea that a woman has a cycle of 7 days of Nida, 11 days of Yemei Ziva, and during those 7 days of Nida, she's a Nida. During those 11 days of Ziva, if she discharges, she's going to be a Zava, depending on the number of days she discharges, will determine whether she's a Zava Katana or she's a Zava Gedola. And what we have taken upon ourselves, the Jewish people, is that a woman who sees any discharge of blood whatsoever, we will treat her as if she's a Zava Gedola. So that means to say, even though the blood came out during her Yemei Nida, that means to say that even though it was only one tipas dam kechardal, it was one drop of blood, to become a Zava Gedola, you need 3 consecutive days of discharging during Yemei Ziva. So it's chumrah on top of chumrah on top of chumrah, but this is halacha psuka. This is something where Klal Yisrael has adopted as a chumrah, and this falls under the category of halacha psuka. That's example number one. Example number two. Rav Amar ki hadar Rav Hoshia, damar Rav Hoshia, marim adam al tfuaso, umachnisa b'mutshula, kedei shetei b'emto, chalas p'turim in a maiser. And the second example is as follows. When is your produce chayv in trumas of maisros? So the answer is, it takes a process. The processing is that you got to harvest, the grain's got to arrive at a point of maturation. You got to harvest the grain. You got to bring the grain into your house. Bringing the grain into your house exposed. Exposed simply means that the chaff is removed. Then and only then is your grain going to be chayv and shumas and maestros min haTorah. So it needs to arrive at a certain developmental stage. It needs to be brought into your house, shelo b'motz, not with the chaff around it. And if you don't have this, it's not chayv and shumas and maestros min haTorah. And a person can do a harama. A person can bend the law a little bit, right? It is an allowance, a legal loophole that's allowed, which is that you can bring your grain into your house, bimotshala, in its chaff, so that the grain itself was not roa p'nei abayis, it didn't see the entrance of your house, min haTorah, it's not chayv yen trumas amaisos. What you can now do with it is that you could feed it to your animals. Feeding it to your animals is what's called achilas arai. Achilas arai would be considered mutter as long as the grain has not yet arrived at the point of trumas amaisos. So your pre-taxed trumas amaisos, sorry, your pre-taxed grain can be given to your animal as long as it's not yet arrived at the point of Rias Panea Bias. Good. So that's the second halacha. Nothing to discuss about that halacha. Everyone agrees to that halacha. Ibaisem, a third example. Ki had Ravuna, Dam Ravuna, Am Rab Zira, make his dumb, name is Kachim, Osarba Namol and Bo. So the a person who bloodlets off of an animal which is a carbon, which is kachim, and that blood that comes out, so it's asur b'hana and subject to me'ila. It's subject to me'ila. Now, why is that a chiddush? So the Rashi points that over here. It's a chiddush because we say that ain me'ila b'damim, so that there is no me'ila when it comes to the blood of an animal. That's when you shecht the animal. There's not going to be me'ila. But if you bloodlet, so it is going to be subject to me'ila. That's a basic distinction between shechting the animal versus just simply bloodletting, extracting blood from the animal. Anyway, what comes out over here is that a third example of a halacha psuka. There's nothing to discuss. There's nothing to deliberate over this point. In other words, an Asher Me'ila. Yeah, you buy, yeah. In other words, if you got Hana, if you get Hana from that, so then you're going to be Chayav a Karban Me'ila. So fine. So Rabbanan Avdei Kemasnitsan, Rav Ashi Avdei Kebraisa. Now, what do we have over here? We have two different approaches. The Gemara understands it says different approaches in terms of how a person should enter into tefillah. Should he enter tefillah with Kovid Rosh? That's one possibility. Or the other one is Mitoch Dvar Halacha, but Dvar Halacha over here meaning Halacha Psuka. And so, the Chachamim, so they follow the Mishnah. Meaning, one group of Chachamim follow the Mishnah where they enter into tefillah with Kovid Rosh. Now, how do you get to that state of Kovid Rosh? I'm going to answer that question in just a moment. And Rav Ashi, on the other hand, Avi Kebraisa, he feels that no. The correct path in terms of how to approach davening and how to enter into tefillah, so that's like the braisa we just learned together, halacha psuka. So it's interesting, the Gemara treats this as two different approaches, how a person is supposed to enter into tefillah. How do you get to the point of Kovid Rosh? So it's interesting, the Mishnah doesn't say. The Mishnah just simply says, you get into a frame of mind of Kovid Rosh. How do you get to that frame of mind? Halacha psuka, we all know, we all understand. You learn halacha psuka. That's very good. But how do you get to Kovid Rosh? So really interesting Tosos. Tosos writes over here, Tosos Divrei Maschil Rabbanan Avi Kemasnisen, V'Kavasai Kaimalan. So first thing Tosos says is, and by the way, that's the approach we subscribe to. We subscribe to the approach of Kovid Rosh. Good. And V'Lachain, Amos Palam, Mitoch Kalos Rosh, V'Schok, Ela Mitoch Kovid Rosh, V'Simcha Shel Mitzvah. So, and therefore, says Tosfos, what we should do is that we should enter into Tefillah B'Kovid Rosh. That's very helpful. How do you get there? So Tosfos says, Kigon Shasak B'Divrei Torah V'Lachain Agul Amar P'suket D'Zimra V'Ashrei Kodem Tefillah. So Tosfos says that your Osek in Divrei Torah. Now it's interesting. This is not Halacha P'suka, meaning we're not taking the route of Halacha P'suka, but rather what we're doing is that we're reading P'sukim and P'suket D'Zimra Ashrei Kodem Tefillah, and that gets us to the point of Kovid Rosh. So it's interesting. It's not an analysis of Torah, but certain psukim speak to the idea of Kovid Rosh. On the other hand, take a look at the next Tosfos, Rav Ashi Avi Kebraisa. So let's leave this for now. So in terms of a summary of the Gemara up until now, two approaches of the Gemara of the Tanaim. How to enter into tefillah, how to enter into the Shemona Esrei. One is Kovid Rosh, and the other one is Halacha Psuka. And the Gemara treats this as mamish, two different pathways in terms of how to go, in terms of what the Halacha is. Tosfos says the Halacha is Kovid Rosh, and Tosfos continues to say, and that's the purpose of Psuka de Zimra. Psuka de Zimra is supposed to get us into this mind of the state of Hachna, being subdued, of being in a state of awe and reverence. Tanu Rabban, we are halfway down in Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph. The Gemara now is going to quote another braisa, and that is Einom Dimlis Balal. When a person should daven, Lomitoch Atzvos, so a person shouldn't be too sad, Vlomitoch Atzlus, and not because of laziness, Vlomitoch Schok, and not out of laughter, Vlomitoch Sicha, and not out of just idle chatter, Vlomitoch Kalos Rosh, and not out of lightheadedness, Vlomitoch Dvarim Betalim, and not out of doing just nonsense, Elamitoch Simcha Shal Mitzvah. A person should be involved in a Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Simcha Shal Mitzvah. Take a look at Rashi, Ela Mitoch Simcha. Wait just one second. Take a look at Rashi over here, Ela Mitoch Simcha. Kegon Divrei Tanchumim, Shal Torah, Kegon Smok Geula LeMitzrayim, O Smok Letila David. So Rashi over here puts this now under the category of, this is similar to the idea of Kovid Rosh, as we saw in Tosfos. Rashi says, therefore, Geulas Mitzrayim, great topic of discussion right before Shemoneh Esrei. Now again, we daven with the siddur. In other words, the misader hasiddur already put that together for us. Meaning, right before tefillah, so what do we do, shacharis? So we speak about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So great topic. Oh, smoch tefillah David, shuhu shel shevach v'tanchumim. And the same thing is true regarding Ashrei. Rashi over here is describing mincha. Meaning, for mincha, so obviously you don't have shema. You don't have birchos shema. So what should you do to get to the point of Kovid Rosh? So Rashi says, Ashrei. Kegon Ritzon Yirei Av Yaseh, Shomer Hashem Es Kol Avav. Rashi is highlighting various Pesukim in Ashrei that gets us to this point of Kovid Rosh. So Ritzon Yirei Av Yaseh, those who fear a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shomer Hashem Es Kol Ohavav. You should love a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So these Pesukim speak to the idea of Kovid Rosh. Ukegon Mikros Hasidurus B'Tfilas Arvis, And interesting, when you get to Maariv, so not sure what just happened with Rashi and Maariv, meaning you also have Geula, you also have Yetzias Mitzrayim, but Rashi also makes reference like Yelo Yitosh Hashem Asamo, right? The extra bracha that right Baruch Shem, so that the extra psukim that we added between Maariv and Shmona Esrei, which we already talked about earlier in the Masechta, parenthetically, by the way, it's not part of the Gemara, meaning the Tanaim and the Amoraim, presumably they didn't say it. They went right from we saw this all the way back in the beginning of the Masechta and Daf Dalet, right? They had the fourth bracha, the extra bracha after Gal Yisrael, but they Shemar Yisrael La'ad, but they didn't have these extra psukim that we say. Anyway, they're going to matter that. But the point still being is that all this gets us to the point of Kovod Rosh. So the way Rashi understands this is just another manifestation of Kovod Rosh. V'chein, back to the Gemara. V'chein lo yiftar adam mechaver lo mitoch sichah v'lo mitoch tzchok. And also when you're saying goodbye to a friend, you're not going to see him for a while. So what should be a farewell? So a farewell should not be not idle chatter, not tzchok and not laughter, v'lo mitoch chalos rosh and not lightheadedness, v'lo mitoch dvarim b'teilim. And not just idle prattle. Ela mitoch dvar halacha. A person should be involved in saying over halacha. Shekem asinu b'nevi'im rishonim. Sheesimu divrem b'divrei shevach v'tanchumim. So you go over the Nevi'im. And you see that although they're harsh, harsh, harsh. So then when they get to an end. So shevach v'tanchumim. They come back with praise and comfort. V'chein tanim ari b'rei d'rav huna b'rei d'rav yir me'bar al yipater adam. Mechaver ela mitoch dvar halacha. When you say goodbye to somebody, so give them over halacha. And by the way, you'll be more memorable. Meaning so that every time he hears over that halacha, he's going to think to himself, oh yeah, that halacha I learned with the last time I saw my friend, and it'll be much more memorable. Rav Kahana was escorting Rav Shimi from Pum Nahara to Beit Sanisi, the Bavo. Ki matala asam amale mar vada darmi inshi hanit Sanisi, the Bavo. Isnuhu me adam rishon vadashta. You know, I heard that these trees in Bavo, so they're old trees, really old. They go all the way back to Adam Arishon. Okay? Amarle, and the response was, ad kartan milsa de Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. That's so funny. You remind me of halacha. Here, I say the word halacha, right? More like a Zvar Torah. But I remember now something going all the way back to Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. I'm Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, my dichtziv, and he explained to me pshat in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Okay, ba'aretz asher lo avar ba'ish v'lo yeshav adam sham. So the pasuk in Yirmiyahu says no one walked by that area and no one settled that area. Now simple pshat in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. What's he talking about? V'chi me'achad lo avar heich yashav. What does that mean? No one passed there and no one settled there. Right. If no one passed there, nobody settles there. So that, right, the pasuk in Yirmiyahu really is difficult. So alalam alacha kol eretz shegazar aleha adam rishon lishav niyashav kol eretz shelogazar aleha adam rishon lishav lo nisyashav. Adam rishon lays the foundation, the blueprint for any settled community. If Adam rishon declared that this area is going to be a settled area, it will be a settled area. Obviously, not in his time, in the future, right? But Adam rishon, how many people did you have in this world to settle? But in other words, when the world will populate, these areas designated by Adam Arishon, these areas are going to be populated. But if it's an area that was not already zoned by Adam Arishon, it's not going to be a settled area. Rav Mordechai Levah le Rav Shimi bar Ashi me'agrunya v'ad be'kipi v'amilad be'dure. And then the Gemara just adds a detail, which quite frankly, not sure what we're getting from here. Rav Mordechai would escort Rav Shimi bar Ashi from one place called Hagrunya to another place, be'kipi. Some say be'dura. So it seems like we're missing a little bit of the Gemara now. And what happened after that? Okay, you get the sense that we're right there. There's something there, but okay, that we ran out of Gemara. All right, Tana Rabbanan, continuing. Hamispal tzarchi chamis libel shamayim. Okay, kavana. The Gemara over here now speaks to this idea of kavana. It's really interesting that we spent so far the first amud of today's daf, and we really haven't focused much on kavana. In other words, state of mind that a person should be when davening. Kovod Rosh, Psak Halacha. So we're talking really first and foremost about how you're entering into Tefillah. And now you're in Tefillah. So now when you're in Tefillah, what do you need? So you need Kavana. And the Gemara speaks to this idea. Tanu Rabbanan Mesval Tzarech Shecham Es Libel Shemayim, so you should have Kavana. And Kavana right now, the Gemara describes it as Libel Shemayim, meaning be aware of the fact that you're speaking with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Abashal Amar Omer Simla Davar. And I'll give you a way to remember it based on the Pasuk in Tehillim. Tachin Leibam Takshiv Aznecha. So Tachin Leibam, your heart should be prepared. Your heart has to be in the state of I am focused on the goal at hand. Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Amar Vita Kachayam in Nagusha Rabbi Kiva. I'll tell you Rabbi Kiva's minute, because Yehim is Palal, Yehim at Tzibor, Yehim at Katzir V'Ola, Mimnei Terech Tzibor. So when he was davening with the Tzibor, so he made sure that he was right to the point and short, and Yetircha de Tzibora. In other words, when you're davening in the minyan with Rabbi Kiva, you imagine you're waiting for Rabbi Kiva before you continue. And he knew that. And so, therefore, he made sure that his tefillah was very quick. But when he was diving by himself, you put him in one corner of the room, and he got to the other corner of the room. And he was bending and bowing all the time. And there was a lot of motion in his davening, and he kind of lost himself because of the amount of kavanah that he had in davening. And therefore, he went from one corner of the room to the other corner of the room, and he wasn't even aware of it because he was in such a zone, such a state of mind. Tosis over here is bothered by the question. He's bowing. How many times is he bowing in the middle of your Shemoneh Esrei? Right? You bow in the front end of your Shemoneh Esrei. You bow in the back end of your Shemoneh Esrei. You're not supposed to be bowing in the middle and any of the other brachas. So all these kriyas nishtachavayas that the Gemara makes reference to. So Tosis does struggle a little bit in terms of when is he bowing so often?
It's only at the end. You're not
supposed right? To right? Okay, you're right. See, you can see Tosis is bothered. Yeah, that's the basic idea. So when you're davening, you should be davening in a place with windows. Okay, so ironic. I'm in the room in which I daven on Shabbos, and there are no windows. But okay. Plenty of shuls don't have windows, but the Gemara says optimum is to be davening in a place where there are windows. Shenamar v'kiven pesichin lei. Pesukim and Daniel speak to this idea that when he was davening, so he had, there was openings, and he was able to look outside. Now, the Gemara doesn't express what exactly the point is.
Right.
The idea could be very simply that when you look outside, you have a view to Shemayim. It can help you concentrate. It can help you focus. Okay. Yachol yispala adam kol hayom kulo kfar mefurash ayde Daniel. Now, what about davening all day? Now, what the Gemara seems to be suggesting over here is, look, I know I need to daven three times today, so I'll just daven three times in a row right now. Right? And that'll be good. That seems to be the Gemara's suggestion, and I say that because I know where the Gemara's answer is. The Pasuk says, Vizvimnin Telasa. The only three times a day that a person should be davening. Yochel Mishabo Legola Huchla Kfar Nemar Daihu Avad Min Kadamas Dana. Maybe when we go to Galus, so at that point in time there should be no longer any need to daven. So the Gemara says, no. So the pasuk says that even from this point in time we're going to be davening. Yachli is follow Adam lechol ruach sheyirtzeh. What about in any direction that you want? Tamalamar neged Yerushalayim. You have to daven facing Yerushalayim. Yachli, these, by the way, you understand the Gemara over here is just citing one phrase after another in Sefer Daniel, where we get all these halachas from. Yachli.
Why would you think not to daven when you go to
those? You're outside of Eretz Yisrael. You're outside of Eretz Yisrael. You're no longer lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, you're right. Yachol kolam bevas achas. Maybe consolidate all the davenings together. Kvar meforsha he did David dechsev erev avokav tzarayim. So through Tehillim we learned out that it has to be in the morning, in the afternoon. Let me go in the right order. In the evening, in the morning, in the afternoon. Yachol yashmiya kol b'tzilah. So, when you're davening, so you should be davening loud, right? The Gemara says, no, not right. Kfar mefursha, yideh chanash, and emar v'kola lo yishma. No, your voice should not be heard. You should be davening, and your voice should be very quiet. Yachol yish'al adam tzracha v'achar ki yispalal. A person should first ask, and then afterwards daven. Kfar mefursha, yideh shlomash, and emar v'lishma ala rina v'ala tfila. Correct order is first rina, then tfila. Rina over here to be understood as shavach. Rina zu tfila, and tfila zu bakasha. So the rina is a reference to tfila, and tfila is a reference to bakasha. So I know it sounds funny from when the Gemara says it. Meaning, but first your first shavach, and then afterwards bakasha. Eino madavar acher emes v'yatsiv. Ava acher tfila afilo kesed vidu shal yamakipurim. So after emes v'yatsiv, so you want to add tefillah, that's not the right time to add tefillah. Meaning after Emes V'yatzev, Emes V'yatzev over here, meaning the bracha after Kriyat Shema. So what are you supposed to do? A seamless transition from Emes V'yatzev, meaning the bracha of Gal Yisrael, right into Shemoneh Esrei. And no hefsek. And you're, in other words, when we're talking about hefsek, we're saying, what about added tefillah? No, not even added tefillah. Just go into Shemoneh Esrei and say the Shemoneh Esrei. You want to add more tefillahs? So I'll tell you when to do so, says the Gemara, after your Shemoneh Esrei. Aval acher tefillah afilu kaseir vidu shel Yom Kippurim. So you could say vidu of Yom Kippur after Shemoneh Esrei. Knock yourself out. But that's after Shemoneh Esrei. Omer, Idmar Nami Amar Avchia Barashi Amar Avav Abish Amru Shol Adam Srachav B'Shomei Tefillah Imbal Omer Achar Tefillah So Afilu Kaseir Shem Kippur. Omer, you want to add something in Shomei Tefillah, so you can add something in Shomei Tefillah, but even then, be brief. Don't go on. If you want to go on, so when do you do that? After your Shemoneh Esrei, meaning when, you know, when we say the after the Hiul Ratzon, and we most have the minhag of saying a Lokain Tzur. It's in the Siddur. But at that point in time, if you want to really speak more at length with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the time to do so. Why is it shaykh? I understand that, but it's still the Gemara describes it as a zman mesugal. It's still a more appropriate time. You just finished your Shemoneh Esrei. All right, we saw the Tanaim and Amoraim in the beginning of the Masechta. Each one of them had their own nusach of what they would say after Shemoneh Esrei. Amrav Amenuna kama hilchusa gevirta ikala mishma mihani kra dechana. Okay, and now a big section of today's daf is going to be tefillas chana. In fact, the remainder of today's daf we're going to be focusing on chana. Okay, everyone's familiar. It's the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, right? I'm doing this with my 8-year-old, so the I feel now prepared. you open up in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. So two are married to Elkanah. One is Chana, the other one is Penina. And Penina has children. Chana doesn't have any children. And she's bitter. And she davens to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And she davens really strong to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And in the balance of today's daf, you're going to see that she not only davens with fervor and passion, but some of the things she says, not in the Pesukim, but we're going to see today through the Agarata, some of the things she says to Kadosh Baruch Hu are really strong. But she feels strongly. And she speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says, and not only are we going to learn together how to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in terms of halachas. Many halachas are going to be learned through Chana. I counted it up, as we are about to start now the second half of today's daf, and I counted up 9 different halachas that I learned from Chana. Wow. Okay, I'm not sure if my count is correct, but that's what I got to. So, Amrav Hamnuna Kama Hilchasa Gevirta Ikla Mishma Mei Hanikrai Dechana. So, look at the number of halachas, right? The Gemara describes it as Hilchasa Gevirta. Right, these great halachas that we're learning from Chana. So number one, so cried the Chana. Number one, v'chana hi medaberes al liba. So mikan lispal sarach shicham in liba. Okay, so a point that we already made today, but again, all the points that we're learning out from Chana. Number one, the person's supposed to have kavana. Right, that's the pasuk. The pasuk says medaberes al liba, speaking to her heart. That's kavana. Two, rak tfasa naos, her lips are moving. Mikan lispal she yachtoch besfasav. So don't just think the words, but articulate each of the words and actually say it with your mouth. So the third halacha is that you're going to be saying the words, but say them at a really low volume. In other words, people should not hear it, right? You should hear it yourself, but you cannot raise your voice so that you're going to be disturbing and distracting other people. Number four. Now, Eli sees Chana davening, and Eli says, she must be drunk. In other words, she's just standing there, her lips are moving. She's not talking. I don't know who she's talking to, so she must be drunk. Now, we learn the halacha over here based on what Eli thought. He thought that she was drunk, and he's going to object to her davening, as we're going to see in just a moment. Ah, so it must be that a shikur cannot... That medrash everyone knows. Okay, so he must have thought that she was drunk, and a drunk person can't daven. Now, I'm going to share with you an interesting Yerushalmi. If you could just skip ahead for a moment to the Amud Beis and take a look at Tosfos over here. He quotes a Yerushalmi. It's really interesting, right? If you think about it, right, the problem is self-evident, and the solution is not so self-evident. And that is that after you eat, you're going to bench. Okay. You know what eating meant back in the good old days, right? Phil knows. So eating, of course, meant you're also going to have a nice bottle of wine together with the food you're going to be eating. Every time you eat... So you're going to be somewhat inebriated, right? No. And so a person who's drunk is not allowed to daven. And what about after you eat and now you're going to bench, and benching is a dindar raisa, and you're going to be benching in a state of slight inebriation. So look at the Yerushalmi. He quotes it. Tosus quotes it. Mikan sheshikar asal ispalo. Yerushalmi maseches trumas perek kama de Rabbi Zera bai kamei de Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Zera asked the following question to Rabbi Ami. Shikar mashi yavarech. Can somebody who is drunk, can he bench? And that's going to be, again, you know me already. I'm not drinking by any meal. But in other words,
this is actually just benching. He's not leaving zimun.
It's just he means benching. So ma'ashi yavarech amarle v'achalta v'savata v'arachta ve'afilu medum dam. So the Yerushalmi says, look, the pasuk says you're going to eat, you're going to be satiated, and you're going to bench. Meaning that's of course what you're going to do. Of course you're going to bench, even though you're slightly inebriated. Perish v'perish. And Tosa says that's pshat in the Yerushalmi. Afilu shasui v'shikor kokach sheinu yachol adaber karai da'achimashma v'savata v'arachta. And you're even at the point where you're not even able to really articulate every one of the words, but you still have a chiyuv to bench. Now, I get the point. Now, it's not clear at this point in time. Tosus is not citing, here's what I think. But I'm just think this, and it doesn't mean that it's correct. The Yerushalmi is not going against the Bavli. Meaning, the Bavli just taught us that if you're in a state of inebriation, you can't daven. Meaning, that's a reference to Shmoneh Esrei. The Yerushalmi saying, look, it's the nature of eating. You eat and you drink. And again, back then, wine was the beverage. That was the beverage that was drunk at every meal. We're going to see this again and again throughout Shas. So it could very well be that there is just simply that for tefillah, for Shmoneh Esrei, so you got to be in a sober state. For benching, it's understood that you're going to be slightly inebriated for benching. It could be that it's not one against the other. It's just simply the nature of tefillah versus the nature of benching. It could be, okay. But it's right. It's an interesting observation by Tosfos.
Even if you just drink, you say like apple up your gapin. So
right.
So obviously they know that you're going to be
right. Slight.
But you wouldn't pass an aloch.
Okay. Good. Okay. Okay. Back to our Gemara. We're on the very bottom of Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph. The Vayomer Eleha Eli An Masai Tishtakrin, and now Eli gives her Musar. He says, "Look, lady, sober up." So Amar Avelaz Mikan LaRo BeChavero Davar Sheino Hagon Sarach LaOchicha. And another halacha. This is now number 5 in my count. This is the 5th halacha, which is you see somebody doing wrong, so give tochacha. Right, we already saw the Gemara in Erechin at length in terms of when you should give tochacha, when you shouldn't give tochacha. But anyway, okay. Number 6. Vatan chana v'tamar lo adani. Amar ula v'temer Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chenin. Amar lei lo adona tabadavaze. V'loch rucha kadosh arei alecha. Her response to Eli, a sharp response. And that is, you don't know what you're talking about. Lo adona tabadavaze. You're not a master on this topic. V'lo rucha kadosh arei alecha. You have no rucha kadosh. Sh'atach chushdani b'davaze. You think I'm drunk. You don't know what you're talking about. In another version, this is what she said to him. So don't you have a ruach hakodesh? Like, aren't you, don't you have an awareness of what's going on beyond the obvious? And you had an opportunity to judge me favorably, and you didn't judge me favorably. So and right now, I'm extraordinarily bitter. I'm not drunk. I'm sad. And you don't know this? Okay, then that's okay. That's the response she gives back to him. Number 7. Vayan v'shechalo shatisi. Am Rabbi Elazar mikan l'nech sh'ab edavar she'eno bo she'tzarech lo dio. Right, the another halacha. And that is, you got to defend yourself. Somebody accuses you of doing something, and you're innocent. So don't just simply just shrug your shoulders and say, he doesn't know what he's talking about. She doesn't know what she's talking about. I just walk away. No, don't just walk away. In other words, there is a requirement to defend yourself and to clear your name. Number 8. Alti tenes amasech lifnei bas belial. An eighth halacha. Don't think I'm somebody who just throws the yoke off. And amar Rabbi Elazar mikan l'shikra shemispal kilo oved avodah zara. You're drunk and you're davening. It's ki'ilu, it's as if you're being oved avodah zara. Siv hach lifnei bas belial v'ksiv hach miyatsu anashim b'nei belial mikarbech. So Malahalan Avodazara, Afkan Avodazara. The Xerishava that takes us from here, Bas Belial, to the Ir Hanidachas. So that's also B'nei Belial. And so that means to say that here in Nidachas, obviously, it's a Vodazara. Here too, it's a Vodazara. And when you're davening in a state of Shikur, so it's Ke'ilah, it's as if you're being over the Vodazara. Number nine. Vayan Eli v'yamar l'chila shalom. So Eli says, okay, go in peace. And he gives her a bracha. I'm Rabbi Lazar, Mikan L'choshet, it's Chaver, but Davashe and Boshet, Tarach L'Faiso. You were choshet, you suspected of somebody doing something. And so you hurt their feelings. So you should seek for appeasement and try to make amends. And furthermore, V'lo Odo L'choshet, Tarach L'Varcho. And you need to give him a bracha as well. Shenemer V'lakei Yisrael, Yitene Shalasech. And Eli gives her a bracha. So you suspect somebody of doing something. So, number one, appeasement. Number two, give the person a bracha. Vatidor neder v'tom Hashem tzvakos amar Rav Elazar miyam shabar kosh baruch hu solam olo haya adam shakar la kosh baruch hu tzvakos. And this reference of Chana to Kosh Baruch Hu describing him as tzvakos, this is the first time historically. Earlier in the Masechta, we talked about Avram Avinu being the first one to describe a Kosh Baruch Hu as Adon, and now this is the first time that someone's describing Kosh Baruch Hu as tzvakos. Ad shebasa Chana v'karas tzvakos amar Chana l'fnei Kosh Baruch Hu b'n shalom mikol tzivei tzvakos shabarata b'olamecha. You created the entire universe. You are the creator of stars, heavens, moons, etc., etc. So look, all I'm asking for is the sun. And I'll give you a mashal. It's like somebody making a feast. And one poor person standing right there at the entrance of the king. One small piece of bread. It's not a big deal. So Dachak v'nichnas etzel hamelech pushes his way into the king. Amalei Adoni hamelech mikol suda shasita kasher menechel itein li prusa achas. That's a big meal. That's a lot of food. You can't give me one piece of bread. Imra otire. Now we are back to the psukim in Chana, and we are now learning together what Chana says to Akadosh Baruch Hu while she's davening to Akadosh Baruch Hu. Imra otire. You're going to see me. And what does that mean? And I mentioned that Chana speaks really strongly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And here we are, and right, I'm gonna back up my prediction. I knew the Gemara was coming up. So I'm gonna back up my prediction that she speaks really harshly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar v'lazar amra Chana l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ribono sholam imra'a mutav. So if what I'm saying of you is worthy, that's great. And if you see my words, that's great. V'imlav tireh. But if not, you'll see. Meaning, I'm gonna get this kid. Right? Whether you like it or not. So, Elech v'estater b'fnei Elkanah ba'ali. So what I'll do is, I'll just simply seclude myself with another man, other than my husband. V'kevan demistartna mashkuli mesota. So you know how this works now. So there'll be kino, there'll be a warning, and there'll be stira. And I'll seclude myself with that man, and now I'm going to drink the mesota. And then what? And now, via ta'osa taraska plaster. Now, your Torah promises that you're going to have a child if, in fact, the woman did not commit adultery during her stira. So the Torah promises that she's going to have a child. Right. And you can't be made a liar. Shenemer v'nikta v'nizra zera. So good. So this is now, so Chana threatens HaKadosh Baruch Hu and basically saying, look, I'm going to have a child either, we'll do it the easy way, we'll do it the hard way. Okay, but... Well, right now I hear you, but right now we're working with the Gemara. Gemara says it. So now the Gemara over here is bothered by a technical question, which is it's a machlokas hatanaim exactly how the promise works in the Torah. And the Gemara says, good. The threat is good, but only if you subscribe to one viewpoint. And not everyone agrees to the viewpoint. And the Gemara now goes through this. So if you subscribe to this viewpoint amongst the tanaim, which we're going to see in just a moment, that's very good. But Elamand Amri Maisa Yolaz Bitsar Yolaz Berevach Nekevas Yolaz Zacharim Shcharim Yolaz Lavanim Ksarim Yolanim Aruchim Aikla Meimar. However, there's another Manda Amar. And the other Manda Amar says, it's the promise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not you're going to have a child, is that if you have a child, the child is going to be qualitative better. And the Gemara goes through various qualitative improvements of your next child over your first child. Okay, and I'm not going to go through it right now, but anyway, but one understanding is that it's not the Haftacha that you're going to have a child. Is that if you have a child, it'll just simply be an improved child. Ditanya in the Gemara here quotes the Brisa, V'niktav v'nizra zera. So the Pasuk says that for the Sota who did not commit adultery, so she's going to get a zera. Now, Malamed Shim Haisa, Koran Nifket is Divra Rabbi Shmal. So according to Rabbi Shmal, so as promised, he understands that it means that if you're barren, you will have a child. So according to Rabbi Shmal, you understand Chana's threat. But Amalei Rabbi Kiva, Imken Yelchu Kol Akaris Kulam Yistatru Vizeshlo Kilkala Nifkedes. And Rabbi Kiva already anticipates, well, if this is what's going to happen, so then what we have now is a new fertility program. And that is, right, go hang out with another man other than your husband, and then seclude with that other man, and now you go to, you go and don't commit adultery, right, that's an important detail over here in this plan, right, it's a minor detail, and then you go to the Beis HaMikdash and you drink the Mesota, and we have new fertility program, and Rabbi Kiva's basically saying, I can't imagine the Torah wants us to operate under those conditions. And so therefore, Richard, give me a second. And so now, the way Rabbi Kiva understands it, it just simply means the next time she has a child, if she has a child, it's just going to go easier. So if she historically has had a lot of pain while delivering, this one will go smoother. If her children were short, they're going to be longer. And yoles levanim. And if they're darker, they're going to be lighter. And echad yoles shnayim. And if she only has one at a time, she'll have two at a time. So my imra tira'er. So dibra Torah kolosh amnei adam. So if you subscribe to Rabbi Akiva, so then what is she saying then? We go all the way back to Chana. So what she's saying basically now is that okay? You'll see, right? Imra tira'er. Dibra Torah kolosh amnei adam. Not the drasha that we're going to say it like Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, so Chana spoke very harshly to Kosh Baruch Hu. How to understand imra tira'er? So there are two ways to understand it. Like Rabbi Yishmael, where she mamash is threatening a Kosh Baruch Hu, that if you're not going to give me a child, I'm going to force your hand. Or according to Rabbi Kiva, it's just tefillah. Ba'ani amasech al tishkach es amasech v'nasati l'amasech. Again, going back to the pesukim by Chana, she describes herself as being a maidservant three times over. Am Rav Yosef Rabbi Chanina gemal masos halal lama amra Chana lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribbono Shalom shlosha bat kemisa barat b'isha. You know, there are three halachas where if a woman does not take them seriously, she will be put to death. V'amila shloshes davke misa ve'elohein nida chala halachas aner. So klum avarti halachas mehem. Chana says, look, I've been good. I've been compliant. There's no reason why I should die. And it's interesting. She clearly is of the position that by her not having a child, it's ki'ilu, she's a mesa. V'nasati l'amasech zera anashim, mai zera anashim. So, and she wants the child, zera anashim. What does that mean? Gemara is going to give four pshatim of what zera anashim means. Number one, Amarav Gavra Beguvrain. So number one is that she wants a son, a great one, a man amongst men. Number two, Shmuel Amar Zera Shemoshech Shnei Anashim, Oman Inu Shal V'David, a man who's going to be Moshech Anashim, who's going to anoint kings, not only one king, two kings, Shal and David. Number three, and by the way, Kachaya, Shmuel anointed these two kings. Number three, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Zera Sheshakol Kishnei Anashim, Oman Inu, Moshe and Aaron. A son who's equivalent not to one but to two men, and that is Moshe and Aaron. Shenemar Moshe of Aaron bechonav, uShmuel bekorei Shmo. And Shmuel is in fact equivalent to Moshe and Aaron. And the fourth pshat, Rabbanan Amri Zera Nashim Zera Shemuvla Bein Anashim. Fourth pshat, it really goes against the grain. Meaning the first three pshatim is that she wants a son who's going to be right, someone who's qualitatively superior. In the fourth pshat of the Gemara, what do I want? I want an average child, right? Just imagine. Here's what I want. Give me a Kadosh Baruch Hu, an average child, right? Somebody that doesn't stand out at all. So, Kiyasar of Dimi Amalei, Aroch v'lo goats. He says, I'm sorry, lo aroch v'lo goats. He's not tall, he's not short. Lo katam v'lo ilaim. So, the v'lo tzachor, v'lo gichor, v'lo chacham, v'lo tipesh. I want him to be perfectly average, right in the middle. So and why? So you look at Rashi over here, v'lo chacham, and he don't want him to be too smart. Yoser midai, shelo yetima be'inei habrios. So Rashi says, because what I don't want him to be is like, all of a sudden he's this genius, and everyone's going to be like, do you hear about that genius? And people are going to want, and he's going to attract attention. Umitoch shenidabrim bo, shelo tesbo ayin hara. And Rashi says that once you become exceptional in any of these regards, so now you expose yourself to the ayin hara, and Chana says, I don't want a son who's exposed to the ayin hara. We're going to go a little bit further. So the ani aisha nitzavis imecha bezeh. I'm Rav Yeshua Malevi. Mikan she'asur leishe b'tochar ba'amos tefila. You're not allowed to be standing within four amos of anyone who's davening. So she is a woman hanitzavis imecha bezeh. She's standing, and that means to say that if somebody else is davening, you cannot be sitting around that individual. Once again, see Tosus over here, where Tosus writes The Beim Elefana Beim Netzadim. So the you're not allowed to be standing in front of someone davening, to the side of somebody davening. Upirshu Tshuvas Agaonim. And Tosfos quotes Agaonim, Davka Biyoshev Avatel. That's only if you are doing nothing around somebody who's davening. If you happen to be davening next to somebody who's davening, and that person's in Shmona Esrei, and you're right now, you're not just sitting there batal, you're saying Shema, you're saying Birchos Kriya Shema. So Tosfos says, quoting the Gaonim, that's fine. You could be sitting next to somebody who's davening. Back to the Gemara, Lanara Zeis Balalti, I daven for this son, Amar Rabbi Lazar Shmuel, Mora Halach Lefnei Rabbo Haya. So there was an unfortunate incident where Shmuel was Mora Halach, he passed an Halach in front of his Rebbe. Shenemar Vishchitu Asapar V'yavu Sanar El Eili, Mishum De Vishchitu Asapar V'yavu Anar El Eili. What does one point have to do with the other? They shechted the carbon and they brought Shmuel in. What do the two have to do with one another? Ela Amar Lem Eili. So Karu Kohen Leisiv Lishchot. So Eili gave instruction. We need to shech the carbon. Bring in a Kohen. And Shmuel's there. Now, mind you, by the way, in the Pesukim themselves, do you know how old Shmuel was at this point in time? He just finished nursing. So, right, I'm not sure if the Gemara over here is speaking to an idea. I'm not sure if it fits in Kipshuto into the Pesukim, but anyway. So Eli said, let's get a Kohen to shecht. So, Chazinu Shmuel to have a Mahadre Basa Kohen Lemishchet. And now Shmuel notices, oh, they're so funny. They need a coin to shech the carbon. You don't need a coin to shech the carbon. So Amar Lehu, Lama Lechul Ador, Basa Kohen Lemishchet, Shechita Bazark Sheira. You can get a non-coin to shecht. So Aisula Kamid Eili. And so now, so this young whippersnapper is telling everybody, that's not the right halacha. You don't need a coin. Anybody could shech the carbon. And so they bring Shmuel in front of Eili. So Amar Le Manalacha, and Eili says to Shmuel, how do you know this? So Amalei Miksiv Veshachad Hakohen VeKriva Kohanim Ksiv Mikabala VeElach Mitzvas Kohuna Mikalat Shchita Shekshir Bazar. The only time you first see the Kohen involved in the Avoda is only from Mikabala VeElach, or only VeKabal, only VeKibel, only from the time that he was Mikabal the blood, but not from the point of Shchita. So Amalei Meimer Shaper Kamart. So Shmuel says to him, "That's unbelievable! What a great halacha! And oh, by the way, Mir Mora Halacha Bifnei Raboat." But meanwhile, you know, you pass on the halacha right in front of your Rebbe. And you pass on the halacha in front of your Rebbe, you're chayv misa. So Asya Chana v'katzavcha kameh. So now Chana goes over to Eli and says, what are you doing? So ani Aisha ani tzavitzi machabazeh. I was a woman who stood right next to you and I davened right next to you. And now what are you going to do? You're going to kill my son? So amala shafkila di ansha. Ubina rachme viavla rabba mine. And so Eli calmly says, what's the big deal? So he'll die. And we'll daven again and we'll get another one. He's replaceable. I know. So Amr Le Elanara Zeis Palalti. And her response is, no, I daven for this one. This is the son that I wanted. And don't tell me that he's replaceable. One more station. Davening to herself. I'm sorry, Al Iske Liba. She's davening Al Iske Liba. Now we understood it earlier as part of the Hilchasa Gevirta that it's Kavana. Now the Gemara is going to give another pshat, and that is Amar Lefana Ribono Shalom Kol Masha Barasa BiIsha La Barasa Davar Echad Levatala. So you know, Kadosh Baruch Hu, every organ that you made with purpose. So Einayim Liros, Eyes to See, Aznayim Lishmoa, Ears to Hear, Chotam LaHariach. The nose is going to smell peladaber. The mouth is going to speak. Yadayim la'asos behem malacha. And hands are going to do work. Raglayim la'alech behem. And legs are going to walk. Yadayim la'anik behem. And breasts are there to feed the children. Yadayim halal shenatate aliba. Lama. Lo la'anik behem. Tein li ben va'anik behem. And it can't be that my body parts are just there to go to waste. In other words, they have purpose. And so therefore, allow my body to do its purpose. Okay, that was the part of the tefillah of Chana. Let's recap. We started the fifth paragraph this morning. We went over the two ways to approach tefillah. The Mishnah tells us b'kovod rosh. The Braisa tells us that with halacha psuka. And the Amoraim debate in terms of what is the proper way to approach tefillah. Tosfos says that we go in with, like our Mishnah, with kovod rosh. Tosfos further writes that that's the objective of psuka de zimra, is to enter into tefillah b'kovod rosh, because that's the approach that we take. That's the first half of today's daf. Second, as also part of the first half of today's daf, we spoke this morning about Tefillah mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, but Rashi connects that with kovod rosh. Rashi says that's just simply an offshoot of kovod rosh. When you depart from somebody, give them over a halacha so that I'll remember you when you depart. Second half of today's daf, the halacha gevirta, all the halachas that we learned from Chana, from the exchange of Chana and Eli. I counted 9 halachas in the course of today's daf that we learned from Chana, that we learned from Chana and the exchange that she had, understanding some of the psukim regarding Chana. What did she say to Kadosh Baruch Hu? She spoke harshly with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We went over some of that this morning as well. Tomorrow we pick it up.